What's up, Playlisters? Brian from Playlist Wars here. Just want to let you know that while this show is on hiatus, both Gomez and I have separate shows that are part of the Playlist Wars extended universe, if you will. Gomez has the Sleevey G Show, which you can find at SleeveyGPodcasts.com. And I have a new show entitled My Weekly Mixtape, which you can find over at MyWeeklyMixtape.com. Both shows are also available on all podcast platforms just by searching Sleevey G Show or My Weekly Mixtape. And Playlist Wars will be back soon. Thank you guys so much for your continued support of the show.
This is Playlist Wars.
Welcome to Playlist Wars, everybody. I'm part of the dynamic duo. My name is Gomez, and I have my favorite co-host in the whole wide world, Brian Colburn. With our third place winner of the last episode, wow, with us from U2 is Chris Hartman from Films Exile. Welcome, guys. How's everyone tonight?
What's up? What's up?
Good to be back. I'm owning the third place. I don't care.
Congratulations. Well, look, we don't actually reveal the winner until the end of the season at our 1 year mark. But I like the way Gomez, he phrased it as you're a winner.
Yeah.
So you see, there was a positive spin on it.
Well, I got to be on an episode with you guys, so that makes me a winner, right?
Exactly. Smart.
And look, judging by the feedback we've gotten on this U2 episode, which has gotten a ton of feedback, don't pick Christmas songs, people. That's all I'm going to say. I'm just going to throw that out there. Apparently, picking a Christmas song in a U2 playlist is a sacrilege. But however, come December, I will get the last laugh.
That's in December.
I'm going to promote the hell out of that episode around Christmas time. I'm going to be so timely.
That's the only time you'll ever get a vote is during Christmas time.
Exactly. And if that's what I have to do, folks, if you're on our Twitter at Playlist Wars, be prepared for a ton of YouTube promotion in December.
Oh, Jesus. So, Chris, why don't you tell everybody where you're on here today?
Oh, I get to tell everybody. Okay, so we are going to be taking it. We're going blast to the past, people. We're going throwback Thursdays. We're taking it way back. I was so happy when you guys asked me about this because I'm a nerd with this kind of stuff. But we are talking top 80s soundtracks. So this is our playlist of our top 10 1980s movies soundtracks. I'm excited about this one, guys.
Me too.
I am really effing excited.
And this is, you know, it's weird because like we're all around the same age. So if you guys feel like I feel, we were children of the 80s, right? So we're born in the 80s, whatever. And that music was, I wasn't really going to go there, but they were the, so that music was like such a big part, but like the 90s was my adolescence, right? So my high school years was 90s. So that's really like my formulative, like whatever music and stuff. That's when I started playing guitar, all that. But most of these movies, I have such a really great memory that's like associated with these movies. So that's the other, like when I was going through my playlist, that's how I did it, guys. I was like, if this sparked like a movie, nostalgia, some sort of like memory, you know, that I had that was connected to that movie, that's how I did it. So you guys might have been, you might have went deeper. So I'll probably be third place again, but whatever.
I took a different approach. I actually crafted my playlist.
Crafted? You said crafted.
Holy crafted my playlist as if it was a soundtrack.
Okay.
So there are segments in my playlist, folks. I'm going all in on this movie thing. Let me tell you.
Again, just, all right, whatever. I'm not saying anything.
And they're all Christmas songs.
No. That's what I thought. I was trying to get a version of Numb from U2 that was played in the I couldn't find one that was, you know, anyway. All right. Sorry, go ahead, Gomez.
So Brian, for all the new listeners, why don't you tell everybody what's going down tonight?
Well, tonight our topic is 80s movie soundtrack songs. Like Chris said, we've each individually created a playlist with our top 10 favorites. Now, none of us have shared these in between each other prior to this podcast recording. So this is all going to happen, and we're revealing them for the first time tonight. Throughout the episode, we're going to reveal each track, tracks 1 through track 10, one by one, and craft, I'm using the craft again.
Oh, boy.
Too bad this wasn't 90s soundtracks. That would have fit in good well. Craft, what we feel is the perfect 80s soundtrack playlist. Then after the episode, we turn it over to you, our amazing listeners, to vote via the link in our show notes or at PlaylistWarsPodcast.com to decide which one of us got it right. In those same show notes or on our website, you can also listen to each of our playlists just in case you want to quote unquote hear where we're coming from. And finally, Before we started recording tonight's episode, Gomez assured me that tonight would be the first episode of Playlist Wars where he does not include a single solitary movie reference. So you,
that's going to be impossibly hard.
You've heard it here, folks. No movie references from Gomez on the 80s movie night of Play.
I might take his place, though. That's the,
that's the problem.
Hey, more power to you, man. No, I'm kidding. We're you can mention one or two movies.
I'm going to mention all 10. And I got some hard mentions. This was actually not as easy as I thought. There was a lot of great 80s tunes and a lot of great soundtracks and a lot of great movies that I watched and was listening through for the past like couple of weeks.
We're about to go down a rabbit hole here.
Oh, yeah.
That was my favorite part of this, though, is I think like going and see what I had to do. And you guys will see it as I go through it, is I actually wound up picking the soundtrack that was my favorite. And I'll pick my favorite song from the soundtrack. So I'll tell you guys, this is it. So like number one, this is my favorite song. This is the number one, but I actually picked it because of the soundtrack.
Yeah, let's just go right into it, man. Go with your track one.
All right. I guess we're starting it off. So track one is from Top Gun, 1986, directed by Tony Scott. And it's Danger Zone.
Damn it.
It's Danger Zone. Just got, guys, now, this soundtrack, when I think 80s movies, I think Top Gun. And this thing has everything. It's testosterone-fueled tug of war, right? Between Tom Cruise, Val Kilmer. You got the two attractive leads in this really stupid love story subplot, Cold War patriotism, American bravado. It's the perfect 80s movie with the perfect 80s theme. I mean, I don't know. There's nothing. When I start a soundtrack list off, I'm going to start my playlist off right. This song is going to fire me up. I think Highway to the Danger Zone. I want to play it on guitar. I want to listen to the whole soundtrack. And that's exactly what I did. Take My Breath Away is a fantastic song. The Top Gun guitar theme is good. And it's led by this song. And easily number one. But when I listen to this soundtrack, I listen to this song, I want to fly a plane. It gets me amped up for what's coming next. I think Tom Cruise. I think about being a kid. It's Highway to the Danger Zone, Kenny Loggins, Top Gun, 1986.
That was actually my number one, too. Oh, I said, damn it.
So we already have a crossover here.
So I picked Top Gun 1986 movie, Danger Zone, Kenny Loggins. One of my favorite songs. You hear the piano, and it just makes you want to go crazy. One thing I loved about it was just, it has that iconic entrance. It makes you ready to do whatever the heck you want. And one of my favorite lines in that whole movie, even though I had no part of that song, is I feel the need for speed. And every time I hear it, I want to go fast.
Love it, man. I mean, it does. It just like, I don't know what to say about it. It amps you up. It gets you ready for the rest of the soundtrack. You want to watch the movie. Start off the playlist right. Get all pumped up. Highway to the Danger Zone.
Well, when I went to the Starland Ballroom to see Seven Dust, a band called Diecast opened up, and they closed with a cover of Danger Zone.
Nice.
And it was absolutely awesome. However, Danger Zone did not make my list.
Oh.
But
popcorn.
We are talking about the king of 80s soundtracks right now.
Yes.
So I'm going to complete a trifecta with an asterisk here.
Mm-hmm.
Kenny Loggins is the king of 80s soundtracks.
Yeah, he was.
So much so that 2021's Record Store Day includes a vinyl compilation called At the Movies. And guess what? All the songs are by Kenny Loggins. And they're all from the 80s, except for his one contribution to 1996's One Fine Day soundtrack. Now, I very well could have went with Danger Zone, but I didn't. And I could have went with Footloose.
But you didn't.
But I didn't. And I could have went with Meet Me Halfway from Over the Top as I'm turning my baseball hat backwards, but I didn't.
All right. That's...
And I could have went with I'm All Right from Caddyshack.
But you didn't.
But I didn't. I went with Nobody's Fool from Caddyshack 2.
Oh, my God. Wow. Talk about left field.
Because as an 80s song, the cheese that oozes out of my speakers during that song. I was 11 when this movie came out.
Oh, my God.
This movie spoke to me on a deep level. Your horse has quite a gas problem.
It's not the horse.
Okay, me and my buddy literally cried in the theater throughout that whole movie. And I wanted to find the soundtrack for it, but there wasn't one. However, you were able to get the Avalon album. What is it called? Back to Avalon.
Yeah.
To get that as well as Meet Me Halfway all on one album. So it was like quite a bargain at the time. But honestly, Caddyshack 2 is, it has not aged well. But my, to put it
mildly. Yes.
However, that song just holds a special place in my 11-year-old heart because that was the first Kenny Loggins song made for a movie that was directly aimed at me. So that's why I went with it. It is an asterisk on the trifecta, but we did get a Kenny Loggins trifecta, but not the song. I apologize. But you could see where I'm going with this one.
I could see where you're going with it. Yes.
Don't have it.
You see, I don't go in for lawsuits and motions or any of that legal stuff. You see, what happens is I find out where you live.
I'm going to...
That, that Randy Quaid was funnier in Caddyshack 2 than he was at Christmas Vacation. I'm sorry.
He was too much in Christmas Vacation. I actually didn't like his character. He had his moments, don't get me wrong. You know, like the, I'm not going to swear because it's the PG-13, but the, you know, the bathroom's full, right?
Oh, yeah.
No, you really have to say the real thing.
Full. Yeah. I mean, he has his moments in that, but I would agree with you. I think he's definitely better in that one.
I agree. I've already lost votes for Caddyshack 2. However, I want to tell you both why your track one was wrong.
Oh, here we go.
Here he is.
And this one, no matter what either of you say, this is the perfect opening song to an 80s soundtrack. And I have nothing else to say but one line. Dearly beloved, we're gathered here today to get through this thing called life. Let's Go Crazy, Prince, track one, opens up the album. Mm. You cannot have an 80s soundtrack playlist that doesn't feature at least one song off of this masterpiece. I went with the one that spoke to me as my inner 5 and 6-year-old as I was spinning this record, Let's Go Crazy. That's the age I was, jumping up and down, listening to my parents' records. And nice. This song just hits home for me. I love the guitar solo at the end. I mean, that was like one of the first face-melting guitar solos in pop that I was exposed to listening to like Z100 with my parents, because it really is like Prince friggin' shreds. I can't wait till we do a Prince episode because this guy was one of the greatest guitar players ever. And then, because I always like to drop cover songs where applicable, Incubus did a fantastic version of this on the Melodies and Monuments Deluxe Edition compilation.
They did.
So Prince, Let's Go Crazy, track one.
Well, that wasn't my track one.
It wasn't. And like I said, that is why you are wrong.
I do not have Prince on any of my top 10, but I do. I had him in honorable mention, especially Purple Rain, because really, really? I mean, come on. It's fantastic. And I'm with you. I'm actually not a massive Prince fan, but that's just because it's not necessarily like, I just don't necessarily like all of the songs, but as a guitarist, as a musician, exactly what you just said. Phenomenal.
Yeah.
And one of the best Super Bowl halftime performances.
Ever. I'm a
U2 fan, so I think they're better. But one of the best Super Bowl halftime performances ever. And he was a phenomenal guitarist. Phenomenal guitarist. So I can't blame you for it wasn't mine, but I can't blame you for choosing it.
I'm thankful for that because I think I just won back the Nobody's Fool crowd with that.
Well, no, because I got Prince on my top 10, but it wasn't that song though.
Well, was it from Purple Rain?
Yes, it was.
Then in the spirit of sticking with the, I guess, the movie in this instance, let's do it now.
Okay.
So that way we're not coming back to Prince later.
Okay. Well, for that, then in that case, I went When Doves Cry.
Mm.
Track number 7 for me. It's one of my favorite songs from him. You know, don't get me wrong. He has a bunch of great songs. But for some reason, this song always gets me. It was one of the iconic tunes. You know, they had it in a couple different versions of movies, but I'm not going to go there because one was a total load of crap movie, and I'm not going to even mention the movie. That's how bad it was.
Come on, now the listeners want to know. You can't
you
do that.
Say that.
Yes, I can.
Wow.
No, I'm looking. All right. Well, he didn't sing it in the song. Someone else did, but it was, God, I can't believe I'm saying this. Romeo and Juliet with Leonardo DiCaprio.
You hate that movie?
I really don't like it.
I've never seen it.
Oh my God. I don't know if I can be on this podcast ever again.
You know what it is? Don't get me wrong. I love the book. I read it several times in high school. One of my favorite all-time Shakespeare ones. I despised the movie. How do you get John Leguizamo to go, "Ark, let me speak, Mercutio, and I have a gun as a sword"?
Exactly. That's why it's so fantastic. It's so great. It's
it doesn't work for me. So let's go to track two, please.
Moving on.
So we're not allowed to say anything about When Doves Cry. You just
Sorry. Because you guys are going to make fun of me anyway, because now you're going to tell me I lost points with my listeners.
No, I can't say you lost points because of that song.
Oh, okay.
Absolutely not. I can say you lost points because you said you hated Romeo and Juliet. That'll make you lose points. But I can't.
And I can't say anything about Romeo and Juliet because I've never seen it. So I've got nothing to share on that one. But When Doves Cry, awesome song. Iconic keyboards.
Yes.
And it's one of those songs that I'm actually shocked doesn't have a recent hard rock band cover version of, because it just seems fit for that type of remake. Mm-hmm. Maybe a Disturbed or a...
I think I had a remake somewhat from a hip-hop artist.
Yeah, no, it's been sampled millions of times, but
sure.
I'm saying like this song seems primed for a hard rock remake, a la Disturbed or Shine Down or something else. Mm-hmm. I just feel like there's something there. So, hey, hard rock bands, if you're listening, you know, that might be an opportunity for you.
Yeah, no, I know Genuine did a cover of his version of When Doves Cry, which was pretty decent.
Oh, cool. I'm actually not familiar with that one. I'm going to have to look it up after we're done here. So, Chris, with that, we're up to you. Track two.
All right. So, like as I said before, keeping kind of in the theme that I kind of tended to get to the movie, hit the soundtrack, get my favorite song on the soundtrack. So for my number two, I'm going with Fast Times at Ridgemont High. And so much to love about this flick, more than just Phoebe Cates opening up her bikini. But I'm going with the lead track, Somebody's Baby, by Jackson Browne. I love this song. My wife's going to kill me because she hates this song, because it always reminds her of the scene when, what's her name? Is it Jennifer Jason Leigh? Is that her name? And she's sleeping with the older dude, and it's just very uncomfortable. It's extremely uncomfortable. But if you remove that scene from the song itself and you just play the song, it's such a happy, cool tune to lead off that soundtrack. And that soundtrack matches perfectly with that movie. It is like teen life in the 1980s, working at a mall, fast food, a theater. Every single song on that soundtrack has this kind of like iconic moment attached to it. It all starts because of that song. And when I was re-listening to the soundtrack, I wound up playing that stupid song five times in a row. And that opening guitar riff, dun-in, 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 right? Just over and over again, tapping my foot over and over again. It's so good that it was remade and not another teen movie. And that's also a very good version of that song.
Yeah, that soundtrack is fantastic.
Wow. Not another teen movie. Jesus.
But in a soundtrack that figures Sammy Hagar and Jimmy Buffett and the Go-Go's and Stevie Nicks, that song stands on its own and is a perfect leader for that soundtrack. And it's so quintessential 80s. I love it. And it's just got that nice, perfect mix of pop and rock for me. And after the hard hit for me of Danger Zone, you go right into this and it's a lot of fun. I really like this one as my number two.
It's a good pick.
Did not make my list. I love Fast Times at Ridgemont High. And I love the soundtrack. There was just other songs that edged it out. This is one of those songs that as soon as you hear that opening guitar riff, you immediately are in Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Immediately.
There is no other way. It's synonymous with the movie, like are some of the songs I have in my list. Mm-hmm. I just edged it out because I enjoy the movie more, and the song kind of gets elevated because of my connection to that movie.
And there's definitely a couple songs on there that like never made it to the soundtrack that are played in the background and stuff like that. I get that. So I can see exactly what you're saying. The movie, definitely, I hold it in high regard. I hold the movie in high regard, which is, you know, why I put the soundtrack so high as well. When I hear that song though, it's like you said, it's an immediate switch. Bang. It turns it on. And I'm immediately into the movie. I'm into the time period and I'm just jamming. And I love it.
No, it's a great song. Did not make my list at all. But again, you can't go wrong with that song either. It's just one of those all-time classics from that album.
I told you, I'm cliched all over the place today, guys. So don't.
Oh, dude, it's 80s movies. It's 80s movies are one big cliche as it is.
Exactly.
So Gomez, track two.
So my track two comes from like two different movies. One's a total bomb. The other two were actually pretty good movies. I went with a group called Real Life Send Me an Angel. It was shown in the movie, Rad the Movie, if anybody has seen that cult classic.
One of our mutual friends from high school, Dave Kondik, has probably thrown his phone on the ground and is stomping on it at this very moment for the sheer fact that you mentioned that somebody might not know Rad the Movie.
One of my all-time favorite movies growing up. It was, a Bicycle Boogie, they called it. It was with Laurie, what the heck was her name from Full House?
Is it Lori Loughlin?
Yeah. Lori Loughlin. And
she
the guy,
got like arrested.
Yes, yes. But she was in this movie. She knows how to ride a bike. She could do all these tricks with the guy named Crew. And it was just awesome. It was one of those scenes that you just totally like. And the music was great. He had the bicycle and he had the pants with the glitter on them and all that stuff. And it was actually in another movie in 1989. You guys are going to laugh at me to this one, but Fred Savage was in this, The Wizard.
Yes.
Oh, The Wizard, bro.
The Wizard.
I saw that at the Rutherford Theater on opening day because they were debuting Super Mario Brothers 3 at the end of the movie, and I had to be there.
Exactly why. Damn right.
So it was that point that where they were on a cliff on the mountain trying to figure out a ride, and these bikers come out of nowhere. And it was just one of those great songs that I loved, but also, I'm going to have to steal one from Brian, that a punk band covered it. It was an actual cover song by Thrice. One of the CDs, Punk Goes Pop or whatever it was. And it was probably one of my favorite cover songs that I heard since Real Life played it.
I actually like those Punk Goes Pop. There we go.
Thank you.
Covers. I actually like those albums. They're pretty good.
Some of them are really good. Some of them are really bad.
I will agree with you on that. But for the most part, I have a lot of fun with those stupid albums.
Oh, definitely. Really, I'm so glad you brought up The Wizard. I haven't heard that name get thrown around in a long time. I remember seeing that movie, and then you could not have had a better commercial for a video game.
Oh, no, definitely not.
I needed Super Mario Brothers 3 more than anything in the world after seeing that movie. I couldn't wait to play it. Well, unfortunately, it did not make my playlist.
Me neither.
And my track 2 was taken with the amazing Nobody's Fool from Caddyshack 2. So, Chris, we're back to you for your track 3.
Track 3. All right. So again, going with I went soundtrack and then favorite song on the soundtrack. You guys are going to make fun of me for this one. I really don't care if you do. 1987, I picked a song from Dirty Dancing.
Oh, God.
And I had the time of my
Seriously.
Life.
Seriously. Dun, dun, dun.
I did.
Hold on. Brian, shut his mic off. We're done.
And you know why?
Why? Because Baby doesn't go in the corner?
Yeah, I was waiting for that. It was so funny. Like, that was so original. Come on. You could do better than that. I expect more from you.
Especially from Patrick Swayze. God rest his soul.
God rest the poor guy's soul. The soundtrack makes you want to dance. I know it sounds stupid, but it makes you want to dance. And they did a great job of combining, like, 60s music and stuff like that. Be My Baby. You got the Ronettes in there and stuff. But it starts with this song. And yes, the dance montage at the end and the whole sequence is ridiculous. Yes, Nobody Puts Baby in a Corner is ridiculous. Yes, the lift is ridiculous. The whole movie is freaking ridiculous from beginning to end. It's dumb. I don't care. I have wonderful memories of this movie because it was like one of my mother's favorites. She loved this stupid movie. She played this soundtrack until I wanted to throw up when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm. So did my mom.
And when I listened to this, man, and I heard this song, I immediately thought of my mom, and I immediately thought of my mother and father dancing at my wedding. This song is almost utter perfection, to a point where you actually want to kill yourself when you hear it enough, but it is almost utter perfection. It's written for the movie. It's catchy. You want to sing it, dance to it. That's what you want in an 80s song. It's silly, just like most 80s movies. I can't help it, man. I know how cliche it is. And I know I'm probably going to lose points. People are like, oh my God, I can't believe you picked this stupid song. There's so many memories with this. I'm sorry. It's my number 3. Give me, I've had the time of my life, man. Give me it.
No, it did not make my list. There was a reasoning why. I am so tired of this movie. My wife loves it. God, I love my wife, but this is one movie. If I hear it, I see it on, I just walk away. I just can't do it anymore. I'm sorry.
Well, I got to tie this in. It didn't make my list, but I completely understand. Chris, my mom played this cassette to the point where I actually didn't mind Hungry Eyes by Eric Carmen. So if Eric I were Carmen? To pick a song off, huh? Yeah, Carmen, right?
She's a beauty. What the hell?
So sorry. I could not resist.
No, all good. If I had the choice of picking a song off that album, I would have went with that one. Mm-hmm. But fun fact about the song, Frank Previtt, one of the writers of the song, mm-hmm. is New Jersey based. He was from New Brunswick.
Yes.
And it's kind of a, you know, local hometown hero type thing. But this is, you know, one of the mm-hmm. writers of the song. And yeah, I considering how many copies of that soundtrack sold, that's a pretty good song to have written for it. Let's just say that.
Okay.
It, you know, it makes so many, and I've said it, I was bringing it up to like one person that is on my podcast. I was kind of previewing a little bit. He put, I heard the putting his head in his hands, right? I heard the slap. I was like, bro, you can't. And after we talked about it, he went, yeah, it's pretty catchy. You know,
like that, it was, is. It's catchy to him, but when you hear it over and over and over. And
I know.
Over.
I know. But you know what, man? Gomez, I'm having the time of my
so
life.
So am I, but that's why I love doing this.
Well, Gomez, being it didn't make our list, why don't you continue with your track three?
So my track three, of course, I'm going with a little bit of a cliche now with like Chris over there. I went with the movie Say Anything, 1989, Peter Gabriel, In Your Eyes. Hey, it's better than Dirty Dancing, okay? Come on. You're telling me you wouldn't hold a freaking boombox in front of your car with this song being played going, I really love you? Come on.
I groaned because it's on my list, but I want you to finish. Go ahead.
It's got to be one of the greatest songs I've heard. It's just a great song. The way he describes everything, you know, it's just one of my favorite Peter Gabriel songs ever. Mm-hmm. And I actually do enjoy the movie Say Anything from 1989.
It's a fun movie. Yeah.
Oh, it's a great movie.
I agree with you.
Come on. A guy who, not for nothing. I'm going to say, guy's a slacker, which we knew a bunch of him back in St. Mary's. And you're going for the ultimate cute chick who is way too smart for you.
Mm-hmm.
That
mm-hmm.
usually doesn't work. You're the bottom of the barrel and she's the honor roll student, yada, 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 Miss Little Perfect. And then all of a sudden she's dating you. What Kool-Aid were they drinking? Because I want some of that.
It is the, like, kind of the father of rom-coms. You know, you think about a lot of modern rom-coms that have come out now. They've borrowed so many movie tropes from that movie. You got Cameron Crowe directing. You got John Cusack. Man, it's perfect. It is. And I'm with you. It is my number nine. That song is my number nine.
Okay.
And it's because of that moment. And it was my number nine soundtrack. Obviously, it's the lead song from mm-hmm. it. So that is my number nine song. And bro, that soundtrack is packed. Red Hot Chili Peppers, Depeche Mode, oh, Joe Satriani.
Yeah, but when you're listening to Peter Gabriel in that song and you think of that one moment in the whole entire movie.
Oh, yeah.
It just makes it.
Yep. I agree with you. Unforgettable. So I'm with you. And that's my number nine.
I'm killing the trifecta.
Again.
Did not make my list. I will always take High Fidelity John Cusack over Say Anything John Cusack. I'm sorry.
I'd rather take Gross Point Blank John Cusack too. You know, he's a combat killer in that movie.
No, look, if it's not in any movies, but I'm a Sledgehammer guy. If I was picking a Peter Gabriel song,
great,
I was
song
never,
too.
Never a huge fan of In Your Eyes.
Okay. I don't.
Right, well,
did you ever hear the acoustic version?
Yes,
the acoustic version is, I like that better than the, I guess, synth laden 80s version. That,
listen, I like both versions.
Heretic.
It doesn't matter. It goes well. It doesn't matter.
Blasphemy.
All right.
Blasphemer. Well, blasphemer.
Speaking of blasphemy, my track three.
It's a Christmas song?
Yes.
I just told you. I'm sorry. I'm such an ass. I'm such a jerk.
Oh my God. Oh my God. I'm having a heart attack over here.
Muting myself now.
It's the lovely Christmas song known as.
No nods.
My track three is the lead song from Eddie and the Cruisers, On the Dark Side.
Ooh, oh, yeah, nice.
You can't go wrong.
Nice.
Okay. There's a reason that people refer to John Cafferty and the Beaver Brown Band as Eddie and the Cruisers.
Mm.
They're synonymous with that band to the point where the band has actually released compilations and a live album under the Eddie and the Cruisers band name. Even though they play songs from John Cafferty and the Beaver Brown Band's other albums mm-hmm. outside of Eddie and the Cruisers. So they're almost one and the same. This is a perfect 80s rock song, from the keyboard opening, the buildup, the hand claps. This is your 80s rock and roll song.
Yeah. Yeah.
Born and bred out of that Springsteen sound, that 80s pop rock saxophone. I mean, it checks off all the boxes. And while there's no great cover songs out there, if you are in a cover band like Chris and I do over many, many years, I will just say that On the Dark Side mashes up very nicely with What I Like About You by the Romantics and ROCK in the USA by John Mellencamp.
Yeah.
And there's a reason. All three songs are awesome. But On the Dark Side, track three, the perfect 80s soundtrack hit.
It's a great song. And plus, it is a great movie, actually. I did enjoy that movie a lot.
I love both. I love Eddie and the Cruisers, too.
I did like that movie because forget it. I'll just tell him. He kills himself in first one and pulls off the greatest, like, escape because he just was tired of the scene, I guess. And he goes, to Toronto? Somewhere in Canada. I don't even know if it was Toronto. And he rediscovers music again, and he just sounds awesome. And no one realized it's Eddie Wilson.
Well, the funny part is the only thing different is he grew a mustache and the whole world didn't recognize.
How do you know? Dude, the hair was like bigger than my head.
With the mustache, he's Joe, the construction guy.
Hi, I'm Joe.
So, like, full disclosure, I've never seen any of these in Cruisers 2.
What?
I've never watched a second movie.
Oh, my God. Dude, you have to stop what you're doing.
YouTube it now. No, not now. After the show. After the show, I mean.
I'm going to watch it as we're recording. No, I've never watched it.
There's a guy in it who always refers to the band they're in as the band. Chris, this is one of those movies that's so bad, it's brilliant.
Yes.
Okay.
It transcends a bad movie.
I'm into that.
Because you have to suspend all sorts of disbelief. I'm just telling you, I love it. It's so bad. I love it. Every time it's on, if it's on regular TV, I will stop what I'm doing and watch it.
I'll have to check it out. I know what you're saying about the first movie too, by the way, and On the Dark Side. It's got that really cool jeans wearing, leather jacket, t-shirt feel, right?
Bar stomper.
Like Bruce. Yeah. Yeah. So I'm totally with you. And if the second movie is anything like that, I'll watch it. I just never watched it as much as I enjoy the first one.
It was actually really good. I did enjoy that movie a lot.
All right, Chris, track four.
So track four, I got to go John Hughes because he basically put out like every teen movie imaginable. Right. But I hear the groan back there.
If it's 16 candles, I'm going to throw up.
It's not.
Okay, good. Then we're fine.
It's not. I went with Pretty in Pink, 1986, and I went with the song If You Leave, Orchestral Maneuvers in the Dark is the name of the performers. What, dude, this soundtrack is great. It's like British rock mixed with new wave. Yep. It's awesome. Psychedelic Furs have the Pretty in Pink song. Such a great soundtrack, but led by If You Leave, which has now been remade like four or five times. I've heard a couple different versions of it. Just a great 80s tune. It's smooth. You get the synthesizers behind it. The harmonies are fantastic. It's catchy. You want to hum it. You want to sing it. It has that little octave shift, you know, towards the end of the song. Just a wonderful song. I love it. I think it's great. And that soundtrack has Psychedelic Furs, INXS, New Order. It's got Echo and the Bunnymen, by the way, which is, they have a great song in that soundtrack. I really like the entire soundtrack, and I think it's anchored by If You Leave. In a lot of ways, it probably is the big song that everybody remembers off that soundtrack.
Oh, yeah.
I think when people listen, they're like, yeah, you know, they don't really. But when they hear the rest of the songs, they go, oh, yeah, I know that song. I know that song. But it's If You Leave. And that was their Billboard topper. That was the chart.
Mm-hmm.
It was that song. So I'm going with that as my number four. And, man, I know people growing with John Hughes, but come on, man. He had so many great movies. And I think of Pretty in Pink. I think this song. I think 80s. I think of being a kid.
No. By all means. Yeah. Now, you mentioned cover versions. It was not another teen movie. Good Charlotte did a cover of this song in that.
That version's so good.
And I only know this because of the band. I didn't actually watch the show, but a band that I like from the 90s, Not a Surf, covered it for the OC soundtrack. And I love Not a Surf. So,
dude,
yeah,
they're good. And it shows you how the staying power that this song has.
Definitely.
You know what I mean? Like and each one of those bands put their own little spin on this song. But as soon as you hear that opening line, the opening riff, you know exactly what song it is and you're taken right back there. And it's fun, right? Like the Good Charlotte version's really fun.
Yes.
It's just a fun song. And it's got a perfect place in that movie. I love it. I rank it high.
Unfortunately, it did not make my list though.
Oh,
or mine.
I'm used to being a loser.
No, no,
sorry,
but here's the thing. Here's the thing. Now, Gomez, we're kind of flying by the seat of our pants because this is the first time we've done a topic-based episode. I do have representation from John Hughes in my playlist.
Yes.
So do we want to stay in that universe? Gomez, if you have one, let's stay in that John Hughes universe and drop those now.
Hey, Brian, you're going to kill me. I got another John Hughes too.
So. Oh, then Gomez, do you have any John Hughes in yours?
I do have one, and it's my number 10. That's how I'm ending my soundtrack, my playlist track.
Okay,
let's hear it.
So my number 10 is from the greatest movie to this day. I could watch it over and over again. The Breakfast Club. Simple Minds.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
Don't you forget about me. One of my all-time favorite movies and one of my favorite songs ever. And it just, I love the way they close out the movie with John Nelson's walking in the field and he just pumps his fist up and that song is on there. It's like the perfect song, man. And overall, the movie is great too. And does the characters in that movie ever exist in real life? The criminal, the jock.
A brain, the basket case, the princess, the criminal.
Brian, I know you graduated ahead of me and Chris, but if you think about the time that all three of us were in St. Mary's, Chris, you're only, a year ahead of me probably, or 2 years ahead of me.
I was a year behind Brian, a year ahead of you. So yeah, I was right. I'm the middle child.
You're the middle child. So I can name a couple out of your class. I can name a whole people out of my class. I can name almost 2 years behind me too. But when you look at it, we're all just people. And you know, no matter what,
everyone was labels. Yeah.
We were the drama nerds, but I also played sports. I was also a jock. No matter where you hung out or who you were labeled.
Amen.
I agree with you. And I'm with you. It's, you know, I heard the groans. I've said it to other people. I've heard them groan back, but John Hughes just got it, man. And I'm with you with Breakfast Club. It is the quintessential 80s teen movie. There's great lines in it. There's great moments. It hits you in the feels a couple of times, especially when Anthony Michael Hall's character is talking about suicide and the pressure that he has.
Yes.
And it's just like, oh, your life must be perfect. You got that perfect little life. No. It ain't like that. And as a guy who suffers from depression, I'm telling you, we always put on the outside that everything is looking good. And it's not. It's really not underneath.
Even Judd Nelson's a character. Remember when he goes, when he's talking about how his abusive father was.
Yes.
Yep.
You don't know what happens outside of school.
You don't know. You only see what you see in those couple of hours that you guys are together all day. Yeah. You don't know where people are coming from, where they live. And I'm with you, man. It's why it's my number five. Don't you forget about me. By Simple Minds is my number five. It is my favorite 80s song, hands down. Now, I have obviously bands that I like better. I love you too. I love Metallica. There's so many bands in the 80s that I may like better. But if you had to pick one song from the 80s that I love the most, that I could hum over and over again, that I will happily pick up my guitar tomorrow and it'll bring back memories. The song can make me laugh, cry, can get me pumped up. It is that song. It is perfection when it comes to the 80s. And it's Don't You Forget About Me. Man, that is, I'm with you. So it's my number five. And that song, that movie hits you right here, man.
It does.
Hits you right in the feels.
It's just one of the greatest movies. And it was perfectly time at the right time for where we were as kids growing up too.
Definitely.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And we have our first trifecta of the night because I closed my playlist out with this as well. It's my track 10. There's no more perfect 80s closing song than this one. Hands down. One of the best songs of the 80s. I love the whole soundtrack though. Even like Fire in the Twilight by Wang Chung. That song kicks ass. And then like the instrumentals when they're all bored in class, just the guitar doodling in it is so awesome. Like that soundtrack is perfection. It's just a fantastic snapshot of 80s music and the vibe and the scene and everything else.
Jesse Johnson makes another appearance.
Yeah.
It's a great soundtrack. You're right.
As far as cover songs go, Life of Agony in the 90s killed an awesome version on the Ugly album. And then Billy Idol on his Greatest Hits did one. And Billy Idol's one of those guys where he was around when the original was, and his voice is not too far removed from Simple Minds. So his was awesome as well. I mean, yeah, I can't say anything else about it. Now, the one thing I will say about the movie, because you guys talked about the serious aspects of the movie, I'm going to lighten it up a little bit. If you're ever lucky enough to catch The Breakfast Club on regular TV, do yourself a favor and stop whatever you're doing and watch it.
Yes.
Because we all know the lines. And the part where he's talking about how his dad yells at him, he's like, stupid, worthless, no good, flip-flarping, freeloading, son of a gun. It's like the overdubs are so terribly done. his mouth is obviously lipping something else.
Oh, yeah. And
you got to love Saturday Afternoon ABC, right?
Just amazing. It's so fantastic. There's actually clips of it on YouTube you could look for.
The one scene I truly love is when Emilio Estevez is high off his mind and they're dancing throughout the library and he slams the door and just screams and the glass breaks. That scream, scream of his does not break glass. I'm telling you right now, Gordon Bombay cannot scream. And I'm referring to Mighty Ducks on that one.
Before you guys move on, I don't know if you've ever heard the Newfound Glory version.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that song. Oh, man.
I should have mentioned that cover
rocks.
Too. Yeah, that was from the Screen to the Studio Volume 1, I think it's called.
So good. It's so great. That's actually the version we usually cover. We cover that version because it's sped up. It's actually dropped down a bit. So you play it a whole step down. It's a little easier to hit some of the notes. And oh, man, that's a good tune.
You know, John Hughes was the man with some of these 1980 movies. You know, I can name Uncle Buck, Weird Science, Something Kind of Wonderful, Ferris Bueller's Days Off, Breakfast Club. You have endless list of movies of what he's done.
Gomez, we could legit do a John Hughes soundtrack edition of Playlist Wars, and there's plenty of music to fill multiple 10-song playlists.
Yes. Oh, without a doubt. I know we can, because I know one of the songs that I picked from John Hughes' movie doesn't exist, and I actually, thanks to my new Twitter buddy, I might get it this week.
All right.
But I'll say that towards the end.
Okay, we'll see when we get to that. Gomez, we're up to you for track four now.
So track four, I'm going to go back to 1987. Andrew McCarthy, Kim Control, Mannequin.
Nice.
So I had a hard one with this one. There was two good songs.
I bet you did. Oh, no.
That was good. That was good. It got me on that one. So I had a hard choice on two soundtracks, Chris.
My mind is in the gutter.
Oh, don't worry about it. It's past 8:30. My mind's been there since 7 a.m. So I had a hard time. There was two songs. The only problem is the one song I really wanted to do was Do You Dream About Me by Alicia, but I can't find it anywhere on Spotify, Amazon, nowhere.
Really?
You can't find it.
Wow.
But it was such a great song, so I'm giving it a hard mention because my wife loves the part of that whole movie when they're in the mall dancing, singing, and all that stuff. Mm. But I have to go with the ending. Starship, Nothing's Gonna Stop Us Now. And I had to go with it. It was just a great song. It's just one of those songs that you'll never forget, and you remember the ending of the movie because she turns into no longer be a mannequin. She turns human. They get married, and Hollywood is driving them off in that big-ass pink car. You know what I mean? it's a great song. I loved it.
That is a really good song. It's not on my list.
It's a great song. Unfortunately, that would have been like a very high honorable mention for me. Mm-hmm. And if you're into cover songs, The Starting Line does a fantastic punk cover of this.
Do they really?
I saw them do it live when they opened up for Real Big Fish, and I was the only one in the room that actually knew the original.
Because you were probably the only one born before 1990 at that
Pretty
point.
Pretty much, yeah. But this was in
being the oldest guy in the room sometimes, man. It really does.
And this was in the early 2000s, so Real Big Fish was still like in our, it wasn't too far removed from the ska scene. So.
Oh,
yeah.
My God. All right.
Great, great, great punk version of it. Unfortunately, did not make my list. I actually really like that song, though. I'm not going to lie. I have no hate for Starship.
No, absolutely not. While it didn't make my list, and I'll be honest, Gomez, it didn't even like come into my mind. I can't hate you for that one. That's a good choice.
Now for my track four. Look, to me, no 80s playlist is complete if you're not including Huey Lewis in the News.
My man.
And using that same logic, no 80s soundtrack list could possibly be complete without including one of the best, if not the best 80s soundtrack song, along with one of the best, if not the best 80s franchise, Back to the Future, Power of Love. This song is awesome. I love everything about it. Everyone's seen the movie. Everybody knows the song. I don't need to go into details of why I like it. It is a Huey Lewis in the News song, and it's awesome. And cover songs, Newfound Glory, again, From the Screen to Your Stereo 3. They did a really fun version of it. And I will be shocked if this isn't on either one of your playlists.
Be shocked it wasn't.
Oh, dude.
Listen. It was hard enough not to pick them. They do get a hard mention on my list. And I love the Back to the Future movies. It is part of my life. And I love the fact they were in the movie when Michael J. Fox is trying to sign up for what? The Battle of the Bands?
Sorry, kids. You're just too damn loud.
It's too damn loud.
Regardless of any of that, I'm still kind of pissed that you didn't even pick it. Chris, please, please, please tell me it made your list.
What I did, and I think it still makes sense, my number eight is actually the other one, Back in Time.
Really? Okay.
And it was a toss up between those two. The other one is on my honorable mention. Both of them are so damn good.
They are.
And they are synonymous with that movie. And you put it together with that incredible Alan Silvestri score. And it's together. You get that 80s exuberance. You get adventure. You get fun. Everything that is Back to the Future. Like, Back to the Future doesn't want you to think. Because if you think and you try to figure out what happened in the past and how that affects the present, but then they have to go back to the past again, but that might affect the future. But then the future splits off to another timeline. It's like, no, it just doesn't
Holy
work.
Christ,
Stop
dude.
It. It doesn't work.
You just sound like the Micro Machine Man right there.
That was amazing.
It's utter insanity, but all they want you to do is have fun. That's it. Just enjoy the ride. They're riding in a DeLorean that's a time machine. Holy God. Just stop. Just have fun.
You mean a time machine out of a DeLorean?
And I picked this one only because I like the riff a little bit better.
Okay.
And I also think that's the one that was in the video game. It was in the cartoon that came out later on. So that one, while the other, that definitely power, dude, that song had the staying power. Don't get me wrong. But I just feel like the other one kind of became a little bit more synonymous with Back to the Future and the whole time travel thing. So that's why I picked that one. But I don't think you can go wrong with either one. But mine is number eight, Huey Lewis, and it's Back in Time.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Now, Gomez skipped Back to the Future. Wow.
No, I didn't.
How do you skip Back to the Future?
Listen to me. First of all, if I could...
You picked Earth Angel, didn't you?
Yes, I did. No, listen. It was really hard not to pick a song from that soundtrack. And if it was going to be Huey and Lewis, it was going to be Huey Lewis on the news. But unfortunately, I just felt with my soundtrack, I was going more of a personal... Kind of reminds me of my life a little bit.
Growing
up.
Okay.
And Back to the Future is one of my favorite top 10 movies. Just did not make the song list on my playlist.
I get it.
All right. Well, then what did for your track five?
So my track five, I'm going to go with the 1987 movie Less Than Zero with Andrew McCarthy and Robert Downey Jr. And let me tell you, the opening number to this movie is probably one of my favorites, and it's Hazy Shade of Winter by the Bangles.
Ooh. Okay.
Okay. This is why I couldn't go with Huey Lewis. I'm sorry, guys. This song, when you hear it, you hear the beginning, and then you hear that opening guitar riff, and you're like blown away. And you're talking mid-80s, where the drug scene was huge, the movies were huge. And you're talking Andrew McCarthy, Robert Downey Jr., and Jamie Gertz was in that movie. James Spader was in this movie and a couple other people. So when you look at it, it's a complete A-list movie stars in this movie. And it's just talking about how a guy's dealing with his life with drugs. And you're trying to help the guy out no matter what, even though he backstabbed you and sleeps to your girlfriend. Which has happened in real life on top of that. But not the drug part. But it's one of those things, you know what I mean? And it's a great movie, great song. This is why I picked it for number five.
I like it better than Simon and Garfunkel's version. And that's all. The Less Than Zero soundtrack is a monster. And if we were just doing soundtracks based on the heft of the soundtrack alone, it would have made my top 10, but I didn't pick any songs from it. And it sucks because that also has Poison's version of Rock and Roll All Night, which made my Poison playlist. It has Aerosmith doing an amazing version of Rockin' Pneumonia and the Boogie Woogie Flu, which is originally by Huey Piano Smith, but made more famous in the 1970s by Johnny Rivers. It has LL Cool J's Going Back to Cali. It has Slayer covering Inagata Da Vida. I mean, the album's incredible. And I really feel bad that I didn't include anything off that one. So awesome, awesome pick. It did not make my list, though.
Well, I'm sorry.
And I got to agree. I got to agree. It's an awesome pick. It didn't make my list either. And there are some great songs on that soundtrack.
Yeah, you're talking about a monstrous soundtrack.
All right. Well, I'm going to close up the first half here with my track five. And it's another shout out to Huey Lewis. Only This time, it's because he wrote the song I Want a New Drug, which Ray Parker Jr. subsequently lifted the main riff for Ghostbusters.
Was it really?
Yes.
I didn't know. I didn't realize that
either until now you said that. Now that I'm thinking about it, holy Christ.
Well, here's what went down. And I pulled this next part from Wikipedia, so I'm going to read this just for background.
Thank you, Wikipedia.
In a 2004 article, the filmmakers admitted to using the song I Want a New Drug as temporary background music in many scenes of the movie. They also noted that they offered to hire Huey Lewis in the News to write the main theme song, but the band declined, i.e. The Power of Love. Hmm. The filmmakers then gave the film's footage with the Huey Lewis song in the background to Ray Parker Jr. to help him write the song. There was a lawsuit. It's undisclosed as to what went down. None of that is the reason why I picked it. The reason I picked this song, it was the first soundtrack I ever owned as a child. I won it on the boardwalk in Wildwood by taking the ball and throwing it into the ring where you had all the different...
Hold on, Brian. You sure it wasn't under the boardwalk?
No, dude. I was in second grade.
Brian, you're sick.
Oh, no, that's going back.
Well, no, I thought he actually did it.
This was the first soundtrack that I ever owned on vinyl. And obviously, second grade, Ghostbusters, it was the movie. I had the shirt. The cartoons were on TV.
Of course, yeah.
I had the Proton Pack.
The real Ghostbusters.
When my parents took me to Hershey Park for the first time, they had those Sing Sound studios where you can go in and sing a song, and they'd record it onto a cassette.
I remember.
I still have a cassette of me at 7 years old in second grade singing Ghostbusters.
Ghostbusters.
Please share it.
Maybe.
No. I think I even heard this cassette once.
Please
but
share
there's
it.
A, but there's a full circle moment to this story. In 2019, before COVID actually happened, we took the girls to Hershey Park. And as we were going through the park, we found a new version of that singing booth. And I told Katie the story. And the girls wanted to go in and try some songs. So I let, my youngest do Baby Shark, and my oldest did a song from The Greatest Showman. She sang the one A Million Dreams, which was redone by Pink.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
And as they're recording those songs, I'm talking with the people behind the counter, and I told them this story. And when the thing was over, he said, by the way, I want you to go back in the room. We're throwing this one in for free. He handed us three microphones, and he started pumping Ghostbusters through the...
Oh, my God. That's awesome.
So I recorded it with my kids and sent the video to my folks. And
nice.
The song just means a lot to me from my childhood and being able to live it full circle with my kids. And let's be honest, the Ghostbusters is one of the most awesome movies to come out of the 80s.
Great movie.
How can you not, as a child, love that song?
Great movie.
He slimed me.
That's why it's so great what we're doing here, right? Like, it's like everything that we've talked about, almost every movie that each one of us has mentioned has some sort of memory attached to it, right? Yeah. Like, it's got some sort of feeling attached to it. You can place exactly where you were at a certain time when you heard that song, or you watched that scene, you saw the movie for the first time, whatever made you laugh, or you had, your sexual awakening with Phoebe Cates, whatever it is.
That's awesome.
Whatever it is, that's what's so great about these songs. And that's music, art, that's what it's supposed to be about, man.
Yeah.
It's just about.
Well, now we're at the point of the show where if this was a record, you'd flip it over. If it was a cassette, you'd pull it out and you'd take the pencil to it and make sure the tape was tight as you flipped it around. But in Playlist Wars, we just keep on rolling. So Chris, track six, we're up to you, man.
Track six. I can't believe we bounced around so much. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's nuts. But I'm actually liking this show a lot tonight too, because A, we're talking about movies, one of my favorite topics.
Agreed.
So movies and music. I can't go wrong tonight.
So for my track six, I'm going back to 1987, and I'm going to a movie directed by Joel Schumacher. I'm going with The Lost Boys.
Oh.
And I made a decision a long time ago that if you don't like the song Cry Little Sister, I don't want to be associated with you. It's that simple. This song, look, if you don't have properties like Buffy the Vampire Slayer and Angel, if you don't get The Lost Boys first.
Hold on.
It's that simple. And look,
I'm going to say one thing before you go on.
Yeah.
If you tell me now that Twilight is the quintessential vampire movie, go get out of your house, smack yourself on a tree.
Yeah, people need to
stop saying that vampires wear glitter on their face. No.
They don't sparkle.
They don't sparkle, ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gerbils. Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gerbils.
Blah, 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 blah. That's all, folks.
Exactly. Go see Lost Boys, because that's the true vampire movie.
Oh,
and sorry. Also the Monster Squad, because that's a true vampire in that movie, too. I'm done. Sorry. I had to stop you.
Man, you were a big Fred Savage fan growing up. Let me tell you, the Wizard.
Worst guys, I think you would think about some of the movies he was in,
yeah.
Right? But no, I mean, look, man, this movie just had an effect on the vampire genre. You look at the fangs in Interview with the Vampire. They're so close to the Lost Boys. And this song matches that gothic horror outsider feel. Mm-hmm. That's that perfect little snapshot of teen angst life of the 1980s, which exactly what the Lost Boys was going for. That what if Peter Pan had been a vampire? That's what they were going for. And that's exactly what they're, read about it. Go on about, read about
you.
It. I'm telling
you,
it's amazing.
I don't think I've ever heard anybody say that.
And it's such a good soundtrack. Like Echo and the Bunnymen have a great cover of People Are Strange. INXS has such a good. So Roger Daltrey does a cover of Don't Let the Sun Go Down on Me.
Yep. And don't forget Lost in the Shadows.
Oh my God. My God. It's just, and it's starting. I know. I think that song is track six. I want to say Cry. I think Cry Little Sister might be track six or track seven.
No. Track seven.
Is it? So it's not the lead song off the album. I don't care. It is, to me, that is when I think of, and you know what's so great about it, and then I'll shut up so you guys can talk, is that it's, you know, I did say it's gothic, and I did say it's kind of like a loner song, but it's got such a hook. It's got such a great hook. And my band actually played it once at Fright Fest down at Great Adventure.
Oh, that's and so awesome.
It was, dude, we had even the kids, like all these people were singing it. Everybody knew that song. Everyone knew that song. It worked out perfectly. That I just love it. And I love the Lost Boys. And there you go. There's my number six.
Good choice.
Oh, man. Unfortunately, did not make my list. However, Chris, back in 2010, the band Seasons After did a cover of it. You got to look that up and give it a listen. It's heavy, but it still holds on to the gothic properties of the original. It's so, so good.
Oh, I'll definitely check it. I made a note just while you were saying it. I'll check it out.
All right, Gomez, track six.
Yeah, so track six, let me tell you, this was really hard because I actually had a couple other named movies. Mm. One of the bigger ones, it's going to get a hard mention, is 1986 Ferris Bueller's Days Off.
Mm-hmm.
And one song that I always loved, and I'm just going to go into it before I go into my six because this was a hard choice. It was Beat City by Ben Watkins and Adam Peters, I think it was. But the song was done by Flower Pot Men. And that song, Beat City, was the scene where Matthew Broderick is picking up his girlfriend at that point, Sloane Peterson. Yes, I remember the names of these people, guys. It's one of my all-time favorite, I get on my jail card free movie. I learned how to get stay home sick from that movie. And now my mom's really going to smack me when she hears this episode.
Just have a keyboard.
And it's when he's driving the Ferrari into the city. And it was just a great song. It got a hard mention. But my number six is coming out of the 1985 movie, St. Elmo's Fire. John Parr's St. Elmo's Fire. And it just reminds me of a bar I used to hang out with. I bounced that. Had a lot of fun. It's just a great song. It fits with the movie. Except the place that I hung out with did not burn down. It's still standing and it's great food. And that's Yesterday's in Clifton for me.
I remember that place.
And that's a place that I hung out when I turned 21 until, God, I don't even know, until I kind of stopped drinking. So I don't remember what year that was. But it was just one of those songs. Every time I walked into that bar, I could hear that song play. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And again, it had an all-star cast, the Brat Pack. You know, John Nelson, Andrew McCarthy, Rob Lowe was in there. Of course, Molly Ringwald was not in that movie.
No.
No, Demi Moore was in that. So, wow. Molly Ringwald was not in that movie?
Yeah, right.
Wow.
You say an 80s movie and you say Molly Ringwald, like, oh, wow, she's not in it. Somebody did something wrong. I'm sorry. Someone screwed that
up. Yeah, someone messed up. That's why they got Demi Moore, probably, to replace her.
Sorry.
Yeah, well. But it's just a great song. I always like the way, just the song, how it is. And that was my number six.
Hard nice. Honorable mention for me. Did not make my list, but I absolutely love the tune.
Yeah, same here. Same here.
All right. My track six. This is where I told you my track list tonight had a theme.
Mm-hmm.
And that theme has kind of been the soundtrack. So the first song, Let's Go Crazy, was your opening.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The next four songs, if you notice, were kind of the main songs from the movie, kind of like the plot.
right.
of the movie. Okay.
Now you're going with the endings.
No, track six. I'm onto the montages, man.
He's doing his workout montage right now. He's getting
yeah, this is you're damn right. This is the montage song, one of them. Every movie soundtrack list needs a montage song. Mm-hmm. And Robert Tepper's No Easy Way Out from Rocky IV nice. Is one of the best nice. Montage songs ever.
Yes. Yes.
Nice.
Yes.
And if you played football at St. Mary's and you got to play under Coach Jack Parcell, you know that his weightlifting mixtape always started with this song. So every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for all my years at St. Mary's, we'd go down to work out. He'd hit play and we'd hear the boom, 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 boom. So it just brings me right back to high school. And then obviously I got to mention the cover songs were applicable. Bullet for My Valentine on the Japan edition of Scream Aim Fire does a heavy version of it. And it's badass.
Dude, that band can do no wrong.
I'm sorry, but that's one of those 80s songs that you just don't touch. I don't
give
care.
It a listen. You might
Until
think
you hear
otherwise.
Bullet for My Valentine do it.
Really?
They do a great job on it.
And then you say, damn.
All right, I will then give it a listen, but that is just one of my favorite 80 songs. They didn't make my list, unfortunately, because, again, it's another – I'll be honest with you. If I was going with a montage, I would have picked the Rocky IV montage when he's training, actually. That instrumental always gets me. And, Brian, unfortunately, Jack Parcells had to do a CD at that point when I came in.
We were still on the cassettes.
Yeah, you were still on cassettes. I was not. We introduced him to CDs now.
How forward thinking of you.
Yes, I know. He didn't like it because I do remember him smashing his head between my head with the helmet on, and he broke the CD, and he wasn't a fan of that. So, but great song. I love the movie. Rocky IV is also one of my all-time favorite Rocky movies, and just an overall great soundtrack from them, too.
Same here. It didn't make my list, but I mean, when we talk about Rocky, even like my wife and I, that's the scene that you always talk about. And it's the scene that pop culture like makes fun of and references the most, like, you know, Family Guy does it. Everybody does.
Yeah,
it,
it's
right?
iconic.
It's totally iconic. So it's a good one and it deserves its place on your playlist. Unfortunately, it did not make mine.
All right. Well, Chris, we're up to you for track seven then.
So track seven, I'm cheating. So I'm prefacing right now that if this gets me kicked out, if this disqualifies me, if I automatically are in third place because of this, I don't care. I'm riding the wave and I'm going down with it. I really don't care.
I appreciate your stance.
I'm just telling you that's how it is. So if you guys are like, hey, you're fired. That's all right. Whatever it is.
Well, you can't fire you. You're a special guest, not a host. The only person that's going to get fired is either me or Brian. And we're going to fire each other?
They could just never invite me back, I guess.
No, we can.
Well, hold on a minute. This depends. I want to hear where you go.
So I went a little out there and I couldn't choose. So I went all the way back to 1981, and it's the entire soundtrack for Heavy Metal.
Oh,
this is a violent.
Why would we get mad at you for that one? Dude, that's awesome.
Because I can't choose. I cannot choose.
This is why you were asking me that question yesterday, weren't you?
This is why, because I was not going to choose. It was impossible. Every song perfectly matches the story in the anthology that they are trying to tell. In this animated freaking masterpiece. It is beautiful. And when you listen, you're like, oh, it's going to be heavy metal. Wrong. It's a mix of rock, metal, new wave, jazz fusion. Holy hell. The soundtrack is Sammy Hagar, Black Sabbath, Cheap Trick, Stevie Nicks, Blue Oyster Cult. Oh, my dear God. Like, I don't.
Oh, my dear God. Your playlist is going to be 30 songs when I have to do this on Spotify in the next couple of days.
Pick the lead song. If you have to pick a song. Pick the lead song from Sammy Hagar because you can't really go wrong with that. Just go with
no.
Okay.
But people sleep on this, I think, sometimes because I've heard people, oh, well, it's animated and it's just heavy metal or it's gratuitous or whatever it is. The soundtrack's fantastic. And many of the guys and women that are on this list got me into playing guitar. I covered a lot of their songs. I needed to learn their songs. I needed to learn how to play so much of their music. They got me into loving this type of music. You're a fan of music, you owe it to yourself to download this thing and listen to it tonight. Listen to us, and when you're done, download the soundtrack. I can't pick a song. I'm going number seven, Heavy Metal for 1981.
Unfortunately, I feel bad. It didn't make my list. That is a great grab, though, man. That soundtrack is a monster.
That's a monster.
It's an absolute monster.
And I know I cheated. I couldn't pick. I just couldn't. I couldn't.
I'm going to let it slide, though, because the soundtrack is so good, and we'll just go with the Sammy Hagar tune.
Yeah,
go with that. And yeah, we'll just preface it with that. But
great album. I see why you were having a tough time yesterday, and you were texting me back and forth with that one. I just like, just do it. I don't care. It goes with the whole thing with us. So you might as well do it correctly.
I just had to, and it was, and there are a lot in here. Cheap Trick song is very good on this. They did a cover. I thought that was very good. Obviously Stevie Nicks is fantastic. There's so many songs on here that you could pick. Open Arms from Journey. You could pick that if you wanted to. I couldn't. And the reason is because the entire soundtrack is a journey. It is a freaking, and watch it with it. It's a journey from beginning to end. If you don't want your kids to watch it, I understand it. But you can let them listen to the songs. Yeah, you can at least let them listen to the music. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, Gomez, your track 7 was When Doves Cry from Purple Rain.
But I did have a hard mention, though, on that. Again, it was a hard choice. Who remembers the movie Real Genius, 1985?
Oh, of course. Val Kilmer.
Val Kilmer and Mitch, who was like 13 years old and he thinks he was a brainiac, whatever. There was a song, Brian, since you love the montage theme, this was actually in the movie. It's called Compsat Angels, I'm Falling. I don't know if everyone remember when he was trying to make that laser go up to, I was going to say 1.1 gigawatt, but we're in the wrong movie.
Yeah.
When he's trying to make the laser go.
Blurring the 80s movies here, dude.
Yeah. It was just a great song, and it was a hard mention for me, but that's what, when you were going on montage, I had to say that, so I apologize.
Well, it's okay, because I'm sticking with montages on my track 7.
Nice.
Okay.
Because, like I said for Robert Tepper, every movie soundtrack needs a montage song, and alongside of No Easy Way Out, there's only one other montage song that could ever be at the same level, and that is Joe Esposito, You're the Best from The Karate Kid.
Perfect. Perfect.
Okay.
Sweep the leg. Do you have a problem with that, Mr. Lawrence?
Give me the body bag. When you think of a movie montage and you're thinking of the scene where he's going through the tournament, boom, it's building up to the finale of the movie, which is where the next bunch of my songs go. No Easy Way Out, You're the Best. There are no cover versions of You're the Best. However, I fully expect, I demand a reworking of the song in next season's Cobra Kai because they are going to that tournament. So that song needs to somehow appear in a different version in that tournament scene whenever that happens.
That's in season 4 coming up, as was Eagle Fang Karate, Miyagi-Do and Cobra Kai go against each other.
Okay. You're the Best. I want to hear a cover of it.
Fantastically entertaining show, by the way, Cobra Kai.
I got my wife addicted to it, and I never thought she would enjoy it.
My wife loves it.
Same here.
Loves it.
There's not many shows my wife and I agree on, and that one is a hard yes. We loved every episode of it. The camp.
So great.
Everything about it was so well done. I literally was cheering in season 2 when some of the cameos happened. I don't want to spoil. I respect.
Even season 3 cameo, which was kind of surprising in some parts.
It was good.
Keep it spoiler free, folks, for the people that may not have binged it yet. Because
why?
I truly believe in not spoiling anything because I want people to have that experience.
Oh, Daniel Russo falls off a tree and then that's it. He can't do the crane kick anymore. That's all I'm telling you, people. I'm only kidding. That doesn't happen.
Or does it?
The song, by the way, is a hard honorable mention for me. And I didn't pick it, but it like barely made it out because that is a top 5 80s movie for me. I could watch the original Karate Kid over and over again on replay.
It was actually on AMC yesterday.
I knew every line. I can't help it. I know every line. Elizabeth Shue's a little thick in that movie, too. I kind of like it.
Give him a body bag.
Get him a body bag.
Awesome. Awesome.
That's so great.
God. Great one-liners in that movie.
I know. So good.
Oh, it's an absolute classic. And I just love the fact that Cobra Kai is bringing it all back. Like, when they talk about reboots,
this was
done so well. And I can go on a whole tangent about this in and of itself, just the whole connection to How I Met Your Mother, some of the inside jokes between the two shows, just brilliantly done. I can't say enough good stuff about Cobra Kai. That had to make my list.
And you know, man, like Karate Kid has a lot of 80s silliness, but I love that entire montage. When they're at the tournament and that song's playing, and Daniel's working his way up, and Johnny's working his way up.
You're pumped.
And, oh, dude, you're pumped. I don't care what you say. You're pumped that he beats the blonde-haired guy, too. The guy's like, you're dead meat. And he beats him. You're like, yeah, that's right. Get this, sit down, you son of
a... Oh, that was by Dutch. That was a guy named Dutch.
Yeah, that's right. Dutch, yep. Yeah. Yep. Sit down, you... Sorry.
You know, actually, that soundtrack actually was really good. There was another song that was on there, Young Hearts by Commuter.
Oh, great song.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
that was when he got his license. Yep. He's all... He's got his 1940s shaggin' wagon, before. The yellow banana, as his daughter called it in Cobra Kai. And why would you give the keys to Elizabeth Shue when you just got the damn car? What were you thinking, Ralph Macchio?
I know.
Ralph Macchio, what were you thinking? I would like to get you on this show and find out what were you thinking at that point.
Bro, he's a teenage boy. He was thinking about Elizabeth Shue. I mean,
dude. He wasn't a teenage boy. He was over 20 at that point.
In the movie, he's a teenage boy.
In the plot.
Yeah, in the plot, he's okay, a teenage boy. And I'll tell you what, if I'm thinking that's happening, yeah, she can drive it. That's all right. Yeah, you take the keys. Yeah, that's all right. And we go back to Mr. Miyagi.
And then in part two, she rearranges fenders and leaves them for.
I'm going to cut off the part two talk, Gomez, because I'm getting nervous that you're going to start throwing "You're the Inspiration" in your track eight by Chicago, and we don't want that happening.
Yeah, but I still
tonight.
Think of Deadpool when I think of.
I would have went with "Glory of Love."
Oh, you're right. It is the "Glory of Love." My joke was awful because "You're the Inspiration." I meant "Glory of Love." It's the same damn song. It's Peter Cetera ballad.
It doesn't matter. It's the same tune. When you hear them, you're like, "Wait, it is the same? Is it?
It is the same tune."
All right.
Damn it. Track eight.
My track eight was taken, right? So yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Back in Time is yours, Chris Gomez.
So track eight for me. We're going back to 1985 to one of my favorite werewolf movies, Teen Wolf. And we're going with the song Mark Safe and Win in the End.
Good man.
First of all, it reminds me when I was playing football because I wanted to win a state championship back in high school so bad. And this song just brings back like we were for my senior year, we came close to beat St. Joe's of Hamilton at that year. We actually scored a touchdown on them. We were going crazy. And it's just one of those great songs. And in the movie, you see them, you know, he doesn't come in as Michael J. Fox doesn't come in as a werewolf. He comes out as himself to play the game. And, you know, that was just a perfect song for that whole scene. I can't put it in words because it was just a great song and one of my favorites. And that's why I went with track eight with that one.
Very nice. It didn't make my list, but how much fun is Teen Wolf? I mean,
oh God, great movie.
How much fun. And there's so many movies that we've mentioned that like we could pick, you know, we just talked Power of Love and I didn't pick it. I'll throw it out there. We said, I already told you guys like Prince didn't make my list, but the Batman soundtrack from 89, like so many songs on that are fantastic. So,
you know, the guy with the buttless pants,
but dude, great song though. Great movie. A lot of fun. That movie's a fantastic one.
Yes, when I think of Teen Wolf, I immediately go to Surfing USA.
I was wondering who was going to say that.
I was kind of hoping you went with that one where he's on top of the van. I love that scene.
I wanted to, but the thing is I was going for, I guess my 80s soundtrack is going for part of my life a little bit. Yeah. And I wanted to incorporate it. And almost every one I have, it's almost like a part of my life and part of my history and part of everything. And that's why I love it about this so much, because it's A, we're talking about movies. Brian, as much as you love the music, this has been one of my favorite ones to do too. And, you know, and having Chris on here is even better because we're getting two movie buffs and a music buff here. And you really can't go wrong because we're having way too much fun on this episode.
Oh, this one's great. I'm loving everything. And I'm guessing we have one trifecta so far. I'm guessing we're not going to have two.
Yeah.
However, we've only got a few songs left. So let's see. It's not too late. My track eight, no movie in the 80s hit me in the feels harder than when I watched Optimus Prime die and subsequently turn to dust in the original Transformers, the movie. I know he turned to dust. I know people say it's a conspiracy theory.
It's not.
Allison's godfather, who I did not meet until 1997, we were watching the movie in college, and during the scene when Optimus Prime died, he stopped and he turned to me and goes, "Going to ask you a dumb question." And I turned back and said, "Are you going to ask me if he turned to dust when you saw it in the theaters?" And he jumped off the couch and he said, "Yes, you saw it too." So it happened. And they came out with 6 months after the movie, The Return of Optimus Prime. So I think they re-edited the movie.
Yeah.
It's a total conspiracy theory. I'm not a big like conspiracy nut, but I'll stand on the Optimus Prime turning to dust. Now, that whole long story is for a reason.
Yeah, I was about to say, what song are you going with here? Because I have an idea.
This song helped comfort my tears because I was too busy crying through the second half of the goddamn movie after my favorite Transformer was killed in front of me. And I was learning things like, oh, wait, he ain't coming back? What the hell?
Every little boy cried. Don't let Gomez laugh. We all cried. Yeah.
No, I have to. Because it's Brian. That's why.
So the scene that helped me wipe away my tears and arise from the ashes of what I had just seen was the scene when Rodimus Prime arises.
Arise,
Stan Bush,
Rodimus
the touch. The touch, man.
The yep. touch. That is yep. great.
Track 8. There's nothing else that needs to be said other than, if you're a fan of the Transformers touch. And you don't have this on your playlist, you are wrong.
And ladies and gentlemen, if you notice, Brian has not said one Christmas tune in this episode.
Nope.
And you went with a much tamer animated movie than I did, so I can applaud you for that.
That was such a great song, but it did not make my list. It was another hard mention because, again, we're talking about greatest movies, greatest soundtracks. And actually, I think Stan Bush had two songs in that movie, didn't he?
I think so. And then obviously we're not doing 90s soundtracks, so you're not allowed to bring up the other movie reference yet.
Okay. No, I wasn't going
okay.
to.
From the touch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Well, not on mine either, but.
Bummer.
Dude, I mean, for a cartoon, and of course it was, you know, pop culture, right? It was big and it's Hasbro and everything. So it's, you know, the thing's going to be making money and Leonard Nimoy is a voice and everything. So it's fantastic. Great soundtrack. Great soundtrack for a cartoon, man.
Oh yeah, this would be a great soundtrack even if it wasn't a cartoon.
It's pretty incredible that again, going back to what we were saying, I mean, you think, you know, toy line, right? But dude, there's a rich mythology for Transformers. There really are. There's comics, stories go into Japan, and there's all kinds of stories about they take Transformers pretty seriously. Like pretty seriously.
Definitely.
All the cool, wonderful toys. You gotta think we actually had a really good childhood growing up.
No, absolutely.
Oh, hell yeah.
We did.
Oh, hell yeah.
I mean, you look at the kids now today, and I'm going to say it. The kids are addicted to the iPads, the iPhones, and all that stuff. And one thing I'm happy, you know, and I have my little girl, and she's actually getting into the Legos with me. And I'm so thrilled because
good.
It's something to do.
It's awesome.
And something like that. And she loves playing outside. And that's something that reminds me of my childhood. Mm-hmm. Going outside, kick the ball around, ride a bike, do something. And I look at some of the toys that she has and I'm just like, wow, Trolls, really? Mm-hmm. You know, Trolls,
well, hey,
the movie.
20 years from now when she's doing her podcast episode on music from my youth and Trolls is the big throwback jam.
I'm going to be thrilled.
Well, we're at the point now where we each have one song left. Gomez and I have our track 9s, and Chris, you have track 10. Because it is kind of the last song, depending on where they're sitting, as our esteemed guest, Chris, why don't you lead us off with track 10, and then we'll fill in our track 9s and kind of close the board up here.
Okay. So my track 10, I'm going to 1985, and I'm closing it out with a song from The Goonies. And I'm going with the lead song from Cyndi Lauper, The Goonies Are Good Enough. I wanted to end the playlist with something that was upbeat, fun, something that screams 1980s. And you really can't get more screaming 1980s than Cyndi Lauper, you know?
No, definitely not.
I mean, the Fratelli chase being played, sure. I mean, this, I don't know, a little bit of trivia. Cyndi Lauper asked Steven Spielberg to be the musical director on this album. And she pushed for a female group to get represented. And guess what? They chose the Bengals. Gomez. And
yes.
So that was fantastic. But Arms to Hold You by the Goon Squad, Tina Marie, REO Speedwagon, Luther Vandross, they're all represented on this fantastic soundtrack. But The Goonies Are Good Enough is catchy, hooky. Hooky. It's got a hook. That's what I meant. It's a catchy and it has a hook. And that's how I want to close out my playlist. The movie's quirky. It's fun. It reminds me of being a kid, being innocent in the 1980s, not a care in the world about the stuff that we all got to worry about right now. When I listened to that soundtrack, I remember staying over my buddy's house, not sleeping, watching stupid movies all night, eating junk food. I remember just being a kid and having fun. And this soundtrack is fun. And I want to finish my playlist off with a song that puts a smile on my face. And The Goonies Are Good Enough from Cyndi Lauper puts a smile on my face. So that's how I'm ending my playlist.
I love the song, man. It is not my track nine, but I love the song so much. We just watched it with the girls recently. And the only part of the movie that my second grader kind of raised an eyebrow, she goes, "Why is that guy blue and he got a big red spot on his face?" I'm like, "He's sick." I forgot that scene as a kid because you don't think about, like, my wife and I always talk about how 80s PG is not 2021 PG. And that was a scene where it's like, oh yeah, I forgot about that.
Dude, watch Temple of Doom. That's PG.
Yeah.
You're like, oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you look at it, you're like, what the hell?
But yeah, absolutely love the song. Cyndi Lauper. It's amazing track. I actually feel bad it's not on my list, but...
Yeah. It did not make my list, but that was just one of the greatest quintessential 1980 movies, man. I could watch that for hours. Rocky Road.
Poor Sloth.
One thing I will say that I know about, a fun fact of the movie was when they slid down the slide to see the ship for the first time, they were not allowed to go on those slides until they shot that scene because they captured the kids' real reactions.
They wanted it. Yeah. Yes.
And to me, that was such a fantastic way to make that, because you could just feel the magic in their eyes when they see it for the first time. Mm-hmm. And they really, that was like such a well done scene.
Perfectly.
Yeah.
People forget that Richard Donner is a little campy, but he was a good filmmaker in his day.
Yeah.
He really was. And it's, you know, people, they think Superman 2, whatever, but he could craft a movie and make it fun and make it quirky, like I said, and he could capture those little moments. And I think that's why I really wanted to end my playlist with this. And it's not the greatest song of the 80s, and it's not even the greatest song on my list, but it's just fun.
It was a great song. It's I don't care what anybody says. It was a fun, great song.
Gomez, track nine.
All right, so track nine. I had a lot of trouble with this one. I had to go through two songs. One movie was from 86. The other one was from 85. I will make this a number probably 17 hard mention. Again, it was from the 1986 movie, Rad Movie, the opening song, Break the Ice. It was a great song, but unfortunately, I had a better song in mind. And I actually went back to 1985, The Legend of Billie Jean, Pat Benatar, Invincible.
Mm. Ooh,
nice. Good choice.
I mean, when I hear this song, Invincible, I truly have to say it's a great song. And it was a perfect fit for this movie, The Legend of Billie Jean, at the end of the movie. And it started with Helen and Christian Slater, which, here, movie note, they are not related. Everyone thought they were related. They're not brother and sister. They just apparently had the same damn name, last name. No relations whatsoever. And I'll tell you, that was a great movie. I just totally loved the ending of this movie with this song. You know, the opening drum, da da da, and then boom, you see the fire going up and you see her statue falling on. Mm-hmm. And it's just a great, great ending. And this is why I went with it for my number nine.
I'll tell you what, Pat Benatar is one of my favorite female singers of all time.
And I am shocked you didn't go with her.
You want to know why I didn't go with this song?
Because you have another movie montage.
No, because I never saw the movie.
Oh, you really have not seen The Legend of Billie Jean?
No, I really haven't. So to me, I love the song. I don't have any movie attachment to it. So it was an easy one to drop out of my list.
I tell you, Brian, if you get a chance, I recommend you watch that movie.
Okay. Okay.
It is a great 80s movie about a rebel girl.
Okay. I have never seen it, so I literally had nothing to tie it to.
I love it. And put it this way, that's another soundtrack that it's actually really good from beginning to end, too.
Oh, yeah.
They had a lot of great songs in that.
Now, instead of going with that, my track nine is one that is on a very personal level. This song was used during the opening ceremony of my wedding reception. Mm-hmm. It's a cover of a Solomon Burke song. Mm-hmm. And this song has been covered by the Rolling Stones, Jerry Garcia, Genesis, Wilson Pickett, and Led Zeppelin. However, those are not the versions I'm talking about. My version comes from the 1980s classic, the Blues Brothers, Everybody Needs Somebody to Love. Yeah. We're so glad to see so many of you lovely people here tonight, and we would especially like to welcome all the representatives of the Illinois law enforcement community who have chosen to join us here in the Palace Hotel Ballroom at this time. We do sincerely hope you all enjoy the show.
Anybody want an orange Whipple? Please, around for the table.
This was the song that my wife and I walked out to when we got announced as husband and wife.
Yes, you did. This
song means so much to me because I will always remember hearing it and us walking out for the first time married. I love the movie. It's one of my favorite Dan Aykroyd movies next to Ghostbusters. There are so many amazing musical moments in that scene, and being such a music kid growing up, this movie just spoke to me. And here I was 5, 6, 7 years old watching this movie, even with some of the scenes that were probably not really appropriate, but I didn't even care because I was so excited to see Shake Your Tail Feather and Think by Aretha Franklin. Like, the music just spoke to me in this movie as much as the comedy spoke to me more as I got older. So it's just one of those songs that I felt needed to be on. It's the finale song in your soundtrack right before the credits, and it's the high point of the movie, and it's my track 9, Everybody Needs Somebody to Love from the Blues Brothers.
Somebody to love. Sorry.
I think you can still find it online. Mick Jagger did a performance in honor of Solomon Burke for this one. It was at the Grammys 2010, 2011, I want to say. It was one of the other.
Okay.
And you should check it out. It's a really good version of the song. It's emotional. They usually are when they honor a musician and,
yes.
And a writer. And I thought it was a really good version of the song. You mentioned a couple of others like Led Zepp, but I think you should check out the Mick Jagger version. I want to say it was Grammys 2011, 2010. It was one of those. And it was in honor of Solomon Burke. Good tune, man. Good tune.
Awesome.
And I love that it's got that meaning to you too. I like when we were talking, when I joined you guys for You Too, there was, you know, especially with or without you, it just has a meaning because, you know, I danced with my wife at my wedding. So it just has that meaning. And when a song has that special place in your heart, no one can ever take it from you.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. And that's exactly why it might not be an 80s movie that people immediately go to, because the Blues Brothers is right. It almost feels like it's late 70s.
Yeah.
It was right in 1980. Yeah. And everyone always thinks of those primetime players from SNL, where the Blues Brothers were birthed, as late 70s. Mm-hmm. But believe it or not, 1980, as soon as I made sure it was 1980, good. I could put this one in. Had to make the list.
That is really good.
Good stuff.
So we've got 3 ridiculously different playlists, which you knew we were casting a very wide net tonight. We have one trifecta with Simple Minds, Don't You Forget About Me from The Breakfast Club. But Chris, why don't you take us through your track list, track 1 through 10?
You got it. So track 1 from Top Gun, Highway to the Danger Zone, Kenny Loggins. Track 2 from Fast Times at Ridgemont High, Somebody's Baby, Jackson Brown. Track 3, Gomez Is Gonna Kill Me, from Dirty Dancing, I've Had the Time of My Life by Bill Medley. Track 4 from Pretty in Pink, If You Leave, Orchestra Maneuvers in the Dark. Track number 5 from The Breakfast Club, Don't You Forget About Me from Simple Minds. Track 6 from The Lost Boys, Cry Little Sister by Gerard McMahon. Album 7 is the entire soundtrack from Heavy Metal, but we're going with the Heavy Metal opening by Sammy Hagar, 1981. Track number 8 from our boy Huey Lewis, I did not go with The Power of Love. I went with Back in Time. And from the movie Say Anything, track number 9, In Your Eyes by Peter Gabriel. And my final closing out my playlist from The Goonies is The Goonies Are Good Enough by Cyndi Lauper.
So my track 1 went from the Top Gun 1986 movie, Danger Zone with Kenny Loggins. My track 2 was, once I could find it, oh, there it is, Real Life, Send Me an Angel from the Wizard movie and also from the Rad movie in 86 and 89. Track 3 was Say Anything from the 89 movie, Peter Gabriel, In Your Eyes. Track 4 was the 1987 Mannequin, Starship, Nothing's Gonna Stop Us Now. Track 5, 1987, Less Than Zero, The Bangles, Hazy Shade of Winter. Track 6, St. Elmo's Fire, 1985, John Parr singing St. Elmo's Fire. Track 7, Prince singing When Doves Cry from Purple Rain. Track 8, Teen Wolf, 1985, Mark Safe and Win in the End. Track 9, The Legend of Billie Jean, 1985, Pat Benatar, Invincible. And track 10, The Breakfast Club, Simple Minds, Don't You Forget About Me, number 10. That's how I closed it, and vote for me.
Through the plug-in?
Oh, I had to do the plug-in.
It's very shameless. Right. Anyway, you know.
Yeah, no, thank you.
So my track one, from Purple Rain, Prince's Let's Go Crazy. Track two, Caddyshack 2, Kenny Loggins, Nobody's Fool. Track three, Eddie and the Cruisers, John Cafferty and the Beaver Brown Band's On the Dark Side. Track four, Back to the Future, Huey Lewis in the News, The Power of Love. Track five, Ghostbusters, Ray Parker Jr., the title track. Track six, Rocky IV, Robert Tepper, No Easy Way Out. Track seven, The Karate Kid, Joe Esposito, You're the Best. Track eight, from Transformers the Movie, Stan Bush's The Touch. Track nine, from The Blues Brothers, Everybody Needs Somebody to Love. And track 10, from The Breakfast Club, Simple Minds, Don't You Forget About Me. Three awesome playlists, one trifecta in Simple Minds. And now is the time that we turn it over to you, our fine listeners, to click the link in the show notes to vote for which one of the three of us you feel best represented 80s soundtracks. Chris, from the Film Exiles, thank you so much for joining us again. Why don't you tell everybody where they can find you and keep up with all the stuff you got going on?
Absolutely. First off, if you want to hit up the Film Exiles and you want to listen to our hot takes, we've already been exiled, so it doesn't matter. It doesn't really matter. So our hot takes are terrible, and we do that on purpose. You can find us both on Twitter and on the Vero social media app at the Film Exiles. And I'm happy to talk with anybody about movies, about music, about anything. I try to stay away from politics. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at the same place. I'm at Chart6363. Guys, this was a blast. I had a lot of fun doing this. And I got
to
get
going.
We can't
wait to have you back again.
It's going to be great. I'm very honored. I'm very, very honored that you asked me. And it's a blast. And I got to have Gomez on at least to talk about. I got to get him to break down a couple movies with me. I got to break down a couple movies.
I'll break down Caddyshack 2 with you when you want to do that one.
Don't have it. How about a cheese sandwich? Don't have it.
No, you're have the burrito with chili and eggs.
We have a, you know what, man, because like we, you know what it's like. You listen, how do I say this? There's a lot of biased opinions out there and, you know, people trying to get access, if you will, to like, you know, certain companies and stuff like that. And we don't care. Whatever your opinion is your opinion. You like something that's garbage or you hate something that everybody else says is good. We want to hear it. That's what it's all about. Art is art. It speaks to people differently.
Amen.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Chris, I can't thank you enough for being on with us again tonight. It's been a great, this was actually a really fun show. Brian, can't thank you enough, my co-host over there. We do have our PlaylistWarsPodcast.com where there is going to be a link to vote who has the best playlist. And keep listening on to Playlist Wars. We do have some battles brewing up and they're coming up soon.
You can find Playlist Wars on Facebook and Twitter at Playlist Wars, on Instagram at Playlist Wars Podcast, on email at playlistwars@gmail.com, or via voicemail at 201-644-6498. That's 201-644-6498. If you listen on Apple Podcasts, be sure to leave a 5-star review and be sure to tell a friend or multiple friends about the show. Until next time, thanks for listening.